Chapter 5. Woman in the Moon. There were mountains that walked, and people trapped beneath them. A looped segment of time that Galatea Haas could not escape played repetitively in her dreams. The proletarian crusade was trapped between two walls of grinding metal and stone, coming together with awful finality. A wave of blood bore down on her, carrying terrified screams that suddenly cut out. Haas came awake with a jolt, hands scraped raw through gripping the rough stone of her resting place. She was hidden at the back of a narrow cranny, high up the wall of a tunnel, more crevasse than corridor. Her ears strained to pick out whatever it was that had disturbed her from the constant noise of the attack moon. Clanking mechanisms pounded ceaselessly, unshielded and raucous. After the disaster, she had passed through one of the Orcs' machine halls, and her ears rang for hours afterwards. From the racket, it must have been only one of many hundreds of similar rooms. Her flight from the doors was a jumble, a terrible memory broken into meaningless flashes of incident. Somehow, she had escaped. Drenched in the blood of the Crusaders, she had run through rough-hewn corridors and gaping natural caves. She was sure of discovery. Only her training and her will had kept her from succumbing to fear. But no one had found her, and eventually exhausted she had found this place and fallen into a troubled sleep. Something was close. She heard piping voices, far too high to be orcs. Cautiously, she put her head out over the lip of rock. Three of the little creatures that served the orcs were passing below, carrying small metal boxes and shoving at each other in malicious high spirits. The sight of them made her skin crawl. There was something worse about these beings than their masters. They were hump-backed and crooked. They rolled along with a sly gait. She imagined them stealing into homes in the dead of night, seeking out young to devour. Creatures from story, they seemed. Until yesterday, she had no idea they existed. They were filthy, and they stank worse than the dirtiest man. How they smelled her over their own noisome reek was a surprise, but they did. The leader stopped directly under her hiding place, its followers running into its back. They tittered horribly, provoking the leader to slam them into silence. It held up a finger for quiet. Nose twitching, it turned its head upward. Haas snatched her head back just in time. The leader jabbered at one of the others. The second's ears drooped, and the third laughed at its comrade. An argument ensued, finishing in more blows. Quiet fell. A moment later, a dirty green head appeared over the edge of Haas's hiding place. Its ears shot up in surprise as it saw Haas staring back at it. The creature squealed as she swatted it with her shock maul. The weapon was designed for the suppression of civil disorder, but cranked up to full output, it could deliver a fatal blow, and the slave orcs were small. The creature flew against the wall, shrieking horribly. It impacted with a wet splat and slid to the uneven floor, smoke pouring out of its ears. She levered herself out of the gap and fell between the other two. They were poor fighters, but aggressive. They attacked together, raking at her with filthy fingernails, ripping the regimental uniform issued to her for the crusade to tatters, and scoring the skin underneath with burning scratches. She was fortunate that her enforcer's armor protected her from the worst of it. The leader went down, its pointed head sporting a new and fatal dent. The last gibbered and shrilled in the orcish tongue, flailing at her with arms that were too long for its body. Its pointed nose and ears flapped as it jumped onto her, trying to throttle her with grasping, greasy fingers. She gasped for air. Pointed yellow teeth snapped millimeters from her nose, spattering her with saliva. She fell backward to the ground, luck more than effort, putting her maul in the right place. She slammed the butt into his eye. It screamed and reared up. She scrambled backward and caved its ribs in with a panicked swipe. Panting hard, she pushed the dead creature from her legs. The energy of fear left her, and she struggled to get herself upright. Her head swam. She had not eaten since the crusade had departed, and was so hungry she considered going through the slave's filthy clothes to find some morsel of food or drink, but was not yet so desperate that she could bring herself to do it. Numbly, she stared at the corpses. A noise made her start. By a kink in the corridor, framed in dull ruddy light, a fourth creature stood staring at her with wide red eyes, ears flat against its head in fear. "Throne!" she exclaimed. The creature's thin-lipped mouth worked wordlessly. Suddenly, it dropped its burden, turned on its heels, and fled, squealing out a shrill alarm. "No! No, no, no!" she shouted, staggering after. The creature was fast, moving with a bounding scamper that she struggled to match. It cast terrified looks behind it at her, shouting without a pause as it ran. Her throat burned with thirst and the polluted air of the moon, and the creature was gaining ever more ground. Haas raced round a corner to see it diving through a crack between two armoured plates bolted to the rock. Haas threw herself after. Anything could be on the other side, but if the creature raised the alarm, she was dead anyway. With relief, she saw it was all alone, quaking against a wall ahead, arms spread wide on the stone. Hefting her maul, she approached. A giant hand cuffed her across the back of the neck, sending her sprawling face first into the rock. Stars swam in front of her eyes. She got to her hands and knees, blood flowing from her mouth. Something slammed into her neck. Wide metal jaws closed around her throat with a click. She grabbed at them futilely as she was hoisted high. Almost gently, the pole shifted around, bringing her face to face with the orc holding it. Her captor regarded her with curious eyes, glinting from eye sockets like caves. Its jaw was covered in a beard of bright but dirty hair, and more of the same crested its head. A single ivory fang, as long as Haas's forearm, jutted from the left side of its mouth. The damn thing was smiling at her, its eyes twinkling with vicious humour. It rumbled something in the tongue of the orcs. Haas raised her maul. It shook its head and flicked a switch on the haft of its catchpole. A massive shock cracked out from the jaws, and Haas fell unconscious.
"She's coming round," said a man's voice. "Be quiet, Marast. You'll have one tooth in here on us,"
hissed another.
"Looks different," said the one called Marast. "She's not one of us. She's a standard." "So, the galaxy's crawling with them. Give her something to drink for the Emperor's sake." "It means, Huringa, that we're somewhere else, do you see? We've moved away from home," said the first irritably.
"Don't talk to me like I'm stupid," said Huringa.
"Don't be stupid, then. This armour, too, enforcer or arbitrator, I'd say. But those badges aren't like anything I've ever seen."
A canteen was pressed to Haas's lips. Warm metallic water spilled into her mouth. She coughed and swallowed gratefully. Her head felt heavy as a boulder, but she struggled up onto her elbows anyway. There was not much light, but it hurt her eyes. She was in a sweltering cell, plated with metal. There was one door, a small grill at the top of it, letting in a little light from outside. A little more came from a buzzing lumen globe dangling from a bare wire in the middle of the room. Two odd-looking faces peered at her. She squinted until they came into focus, and pushed herself back in alarm when they did. Bald heads with pronounced eyes looked back, their owners crouching on unnaturally long legs.
"What are you?" she said.
Her stomach rolled with nausea.
"Oh, that's charming. Very nice," said the one called Marast. "People, that's what we are. If you don't like us, we can call the orcs. Maybe they'll give you a waking you'd prefer."
Haas blinked. They were human, of a sort, but stretched in the body, her eyes straight to their legs.
"Guess she's never seen a Longshanks before," muttered Huringa.
Marast patted his leg with a thin-fingered hand.
"That's what we are. Don't stare so. In here you're the odd one out."
"You're mutants."
"Abhumans," said Huringa angrily. "We're loyal subjects of the Emperor, same as you, lovey. Ain't our fault our home's low G."
He turned away from her pointedly. Haas groggily got to her feet. The room was crammed with Longshanks. They had arrayed themselves as best they could around the walls, backs to the metal, long legs drawn up in front of them.
"Where are you from?" she asked.
Haas was aware there were sanctioned substrains of humanity scattered around the galaxy, but that was as far as her knowledge went. On Terra, any deviation from the norm was a mutation, and a mutant was a criminal by default.
Orin's well, said Marast. Green skins overran the planet and took thousands of us up here. Seems we're good for working on the moon. Most of it ain't got no gravity generators. Doesn't bother us as much as it bothers them. You
don't know where you are?
Marast shook his head.
Not a splinter of an idea. Been down here slaving for weeks now. Not many of us left.
Terra! You're in orbit over Terra!
She tapped the badge on her shoulder guard, much worn now, that marked her out as an arbitrator of the Imperial Palace, 149th Administrative District, General Oversight Division. Marast's mouth opened wide in amazement.
Terra?
He made the sign of the Aquila over his chest. Murmurs went up from his freakish compatriots. A few reached out to touch her. She shook their hands off and stepped over their fragile-looking legs to the door.
Don't do that,
hissed Marast.
You'll have one tooth in here on us.
Something grunted outside. Haas threw herself against the wall as a bucket-jawed giant squinted into the room. One fang, a dirty beard. Her captor. It banged on the door hard, making it shake in its mountings, and roared out a string of gruff, alien words. Marast crept to her side and pulled at her arm.
Don't do that. Don't talk. Don't look them in the eye, he said fearfully. If you do, they'll hurt you bad. Might kill you. Take you. Through there.
He pointed at the wall.
What's through there?
Asked Haas, dreading the answer. Marast winced.
The meat pen.
Haas could not help but look, her eyes drawn by a force outside of herself to the wall separating their holding pen from the room next door.
I can't stay here. There must be a way out, she said.
Where to? Said Marast. Get out of that door, and there are a million orcs. Even if there weren't, where would you go? Walk to the surface and toss yourself off into space? Although that's better than the alternative, I suppose. But you can't. The only way we're getting off this moon is if someone comes and rescues us. And let me tell you something sad, Lady Arbitrator. No one's coming. Not for the likes of us. You keep your head down, work hard, and they mostly leave you alone.
I won't. I'm going to get out of here,
whispered Haas. Marast shook his head sadly.
Not once you've seen the gate, you won't. It's hopeless.
Gate?
The place they come through. A flash of light and they're there, as many orcs as they need. There's no army in the galaxy that can stop them.
In the boundary zone between the Oort cloud and the dwarf planets parading around the edge of the Sol system, space convulsed. Vile lightnings cracked around a puckering in the fabric of real space. With a silent scream, the universe tore. Hundreds of warships arrowed into reality, diabolical vapors spilling off their glowing Geller fields. Behind them boiled the cauldron of the warp, a pit of madness none should cross. Reality sealed itself in a blinding flash of non-light, shuddered, and was still.
High Marshal, my Lord Chapter Master, we have arrived in the Sol system, praise be, announced Beaumont's shipmaster.
Other reports followed.
All decks report unproblematic translation. Warp engines powering down. Geller field deactivation in 3, 2, 1. Geller field deactivated. All praise the Emperor, most holy Lord of Man.
From the corner of his eye, Corlan saw Bowman's twisted lips mouth the word silently along with his bondsmen. The High Marshal of the Black Templars strode along the sweeping command deck of the Abhorrence. Fans of workstations spilled down from the command dais at the center. A window of armor glass a dozen meters across filled the front of the deck, showing the blackness of space. At this far removed, Sol was merely a bright dot, hard to tell apart from any other star. Corlan stared at it, searching for the dim flicker that would mark out the location of Holy Terra.
All Black Templars' vessels, state arrival and status, commanded Beaumont. Issachar, Cassandra, Thane, how do you fare?
Cyber constructs carrying holo projectors swooped in on Corden and Beaumont's position, their projection gems bursting into life. The shoulders and heads of his fellow chapter masters assembled themselves in the air from striped pulses of laser light.
"All my vessels report zero casualties, no damage," said Thane. "The warp was unusually calm, not a single vessel lost," said Issachar. "Fortune is with us," said Cassandra.
"Fortune has nothing to do with it. It was the will of the Emperor. He knows we come to aid beleaguered Terra," said Beaumont. "Time check reports a warp transition of 4 days. Unprecedented. Your judgment was well-founded, Brother Chapter Master Corland."
"I believe that was an apology, Brother Chapter Master," said Cassandra quietly.
"My Augur Master has detected signs of recent fleet combat around Terra. Minimal weapon discharge and large informational exchange around the Martian New Sphere. Where are the defense fleets? Why has Mars not mobilized its armies?" said Thane.
Corland looked past the floating light specters of his brothers.
"What are our orders, Imperial Fist?" said Issachar.
"The attack moon still orbits Terra," said Corland. "We cannot let this insult stand. Brothers of the Last Wall, adopt attack formation," he said. "We make for the Orc Moon without delay. Send messages to Mars and Terra that we have come. As soon as we are close enough, open lithocast communications. We must learn how Terra can be held to ransom so easily."